The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the final day.
Final. It's the final day of the final
Jesus
day.
Jesus Christ. Shut the fuck up. It's the final day.
You can't stop his final.
For MAPS Performance to be on sale. After today, the price goes up.
It goes up.
If you want to do the program, you better enroll now.
The repeater. The repeater
is
here.
Adam's the repeater.
Mind Pump Media.
Mind Pump Media, don't forget.
.com.
Don't forget mindpumpmedia.com.
MAPS Performance on sale.
It's the MAPS Performance. It's on sale.
Last day today.
It's the final day.
Billy Blanks.
Here we go now.
How many this week, Doug?
Here we go.
Yeah, we
Whoa.
Got...
Whoa, hold on a second. What? You can't sing, Adam. You're not allowed to
that
do
was
that.
A, that was a rule we made a long time ago.
I wasn't singing right there.
Thank
it
God.
Like it.
That was me just
something.
Chanting.
Chanting.
Yeah, chanting. Chanting.
Sound like go. A goat so, dying.
Something. Fuck off. What are we doing, Doug? Are we giving shit away or what?
Yeah, we're giving more shirts away.
More shirts away. Where did we get all these fucking shirts? I didn't even know we had this many shirts.
Well, we don't, actually.
Oh, we don't.
I'm making them in the back on a loom.
A loom. Wow. He's committed. Committed to this process.
Doug's old.
Yeah, we I use it's a loom.
It's like spindle.
What are you, Rumpelstiltskin in the back? Spinny the gold from
exactly.
They're all colored red from goat's blood.
How many reviews? How much shit are we giving away?
We got 10 reviews this week. We're giving 3 shirts away.
Three. I thought we were giving away 4.
We do when we get 12, but we didn't get 12.
Wow. Ooh,
we didn't?
Yeah, I got to be hardcore
that's all right.
here.
That's all right. Yeah, you got to be a dick.
Lay down the law.
Someone has to be a dick.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody else here
I'm glad it's you, Doug.
Yeah.
All right, so who won?
Well, we've got Derek Stenberg.
Congratulations.
Derek.
We got Jar with lots of R's on the end. Jar. And we got
you win.
Edal Jar. 29.
What is it?
Edal.
29.
Or Edal. Could be one of the two.
Eat them all.
Oh, yeah, man, you guys are dicks. You guys didn't pick the guy that talked about me?
What are you talking about?
No, of course not, Adam.
Oh, you guys fucking suck. I finally get a review that says sometimes I can't even hook my boy up with a shirt.
Oh, you mean this
Come
one right
on.
Here? Hold
oh,
on. Like you mean this one right here?
Completely.
No, I'm going to read it. This is from Shane Hamill. All
right.
Adam, this is for you. You're the best and you're jacked.
You're the best
and
you're jacked.
And then he says some stuff about us. Great show. Love listening on my walks around campus. Very nice. Thanks, guys. You're the best and you're jacked.
That intelligent of a post, I think he gets a shirt.
Well, yeah.
Adam, send him yours.
Love it.
Yeah, you can have my
Someone
shirt.
Got clowned. Yeah. Clowned.
All right. Well, I want everybody who won to send your iTunes name, your size, your address, and send it to mindpumpradio@gmail.com. And for the rest of you, if you haven't left a review, we have more shirts. I'll weave some more. So please leave it, and we'll give out a bunch next week.
Please don't send a surprise cock pic.
Leave a review for Sal this time.
Or do.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I just discovered something very interesting.
I know what you're going to point out.
No. I know. Listen. Very interesting. Did you know your phone has a panorama function that allows you to take pictures from wide angles?
Yes.
Do you know why that's going to come in handy? Why that came in handy for Justin the other day?
You guys are such like roll you under the bus people.
You know that? You're going to put it out. You know what I love about us?
We keep it so real.
Yeah. If one of us tries to be private and share like a private story,
it was
off
a funny
the radio,
story.
The other two guys bring it
of
up.
Of course, you're going to bring it on air.
Yeah.
So what happened, Justin? Why did you have to use
this? Was
the
last okay? This was wait. I want the full. I want to set the full stage here, right?
Well,
so last weekend, wifey's out of town.
Yeah. So, anyways, she went out of town with her friends and decided to stay at this hotel. I'm like, yeah, have fun, go hang out with your girlfriends, you know, get away from us and the kids. And I got them all weekend, you know, all that stuff. And so I'm trying to be like super cool and, you know, like everything's fine. She'll text me, you know, how's everything going? I'm like, y'all don't worry about me, whatever. And so then, bam, I send her a dick pic. Because like I'm at that point where I'm
logically,
like,
that's the next
I'm
step.
At that point, right, where I'm like, okay, we've been married for a good amount of time now. And I'm just like,
it's time for the dick pic.
I got to, you know, you got to shake it up. I gotta keep her guessing.
What did she say to you?
She was just like, what?
Now, you've never done that before, right?
Never.
That is so great.
Never, ever done it. And I was like, I was thinking about that. I was like, this is so Sal and Adam's influence on me.
Yeah, because we send
shit is trickling we send
dick pics all the
life.
Time.
Yeah, to each other.
to the group text.
So
that threw her off.
So the whole story is there's nothing weird about it until you say you've never done that before. I don't know anybody that's never taken a picture
and
of
sent
their own
it
dick.
Over the well, yeah, but not like here, you know. Congratulations. They don't care.
Did you tell her to show her friends?
No girl on this planet is like, yay, you know, thanks for the
it doesn't work the
thanks
same.
For the meat hawk. Right in my face. It's all over my screen. I'm gonna use it as a screensaver. Blah, blah, blah.
She's like, it looks like someone was standing on the roof and took a picture of a piglet on the ground.
I'll be honest though, like you can get some pretty good angles. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like I was kind of like, whoa.
It looks like
daddy's packing.
It looks like it's bruised. Oh no, that's just it's just throbbing.
Yeah, it's throbbing. How does it throb and be still at the same time?
Oh my god!
I don't know.
That's disgusting. Yes. Adam, how many dick pics have you taken?
I don't know. I don't think I've taken any. Actually, this is the first time I've ever even thought of that. No.
What's that?
Such a liar! Liar!
I can't believe that you. That's the first time. I can't believe you've never just wondered. Yeah. You've never wondered what it looks like from that angle.
Well, like, I have done.
I
that.
Wonder what it looks like. From
No. I just. What I'm trying to say is I've never actually been like, yes, okay, now I'm going to put this in a text message form and send it across the world and the ethernet. I just, you know, I always feel like somebody's...
She's like, honey, you sent me a picture of your dick
it's
one
like
time.
It's going to go to like my grandma or
and
something.
And we went over our data.
I'm paranoid. Yeah.
Used up all the data with that massive...
So this
take that, AT&T. Boom.
Now, do you do other funny off-the-wall shit like that? Do you guys do that? Do your girls, do you guys do weird... Like, every once in a while, I'll just be weird like that where just totally out of left field.
Right? Totally do that. Like, and that, yeah. I mean... It's been
Katrina
obviously
be like,
escalated
Katrina
now.
Katrina will
but...
be like reading on the couch and I'll come up and I'll just like set my nutsack on her shoulder. What? Until she...
Wow.
What? Dirty man.
Well, you just...
Like, you want some tea? Just, and then like your bag is just like inside it? That'd be a great joke.
I totally
it just
yeah.
It just gently...
Yeah.
It just gently spreads yeah, over. Well,
just dipping
like,
it.
Like, yeah. like yeah. a teardrop. Yeah. Like hitting well, the sprout
did you
slowly.
Need two sugars? I don't remember. Bloink? Bloink?
What well, the fuck is wrong with you guys?
That's I don't know. It's
you
fun.
Don't do that, bro?
No, dude. I don't, like,
you've been married the longest. I would
bro,
play for
bro,
sure.
I would, like, it would get ripped off.
Your girl would like, whack.
I don't, yeah, randomly walk up and like, surprise, like, nuts on your shoulder.
No, I don't even say,
just rip it off.
My goal is always to see how long I can get away with it before she notices. So like, you know, see if I can set them on it.
Yeah. Ah, like something's.
Yeah, what is that?
What's that?
It's like,
what is that?
That's warm.
It's like smell.
What it smells like, Old Spice in here.
It's kind of moist like, on my shoulder. What is that?
Who put cheese on my shoulder? Oh,
sticking to me. Oh, it's like gum.
All right, that's enough. You guys, it's time
we cross the line.
We got to get serious now.
All right,
it's time.
Why?
Because now we got to do the quah.
Oh, motherfucking quah!
Now we got to do the quah.
Hiya, quah!
Let's do it.
How do you like that?
Quah.
Doug, do not edit out the nut story.
No, don't worry.
Leave that in.
It's in there.
It's in there. It's in there.
Where's the nuts?
Confirmed.
It's in there.
Yeah. All right. Quah. The burly boy asks, what causes posture imbalances?
Repetitive movements, lack of movements,
muscle imbalances.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah, if you're overusing ones and underusing other ones, that's what'll do it, you know?
Yeah, if you place your body
antagonist and protagonist for everyone.
Right. If you place your body in a position for long periods of time every single day, your posture will start to adapt around that position. Yeah. So the muscles that are shortened become tighter, the muscles that are lengthened become looser. Things become weak out of that position, and you become stronger in that position. So then when you get up to walk, you have like what's common, like a very common, you know, posture imbalance would be like forward shoulder, where your shoulders are rolled forward or your head juts forward. You see that much more commonly now because of tech, right? People working at their desks and stuff.
Jockeys, yeah. Always leaning over their chair. I look at this too, like muscles really, they're what's holding everything together, right? Like in your spinal column, everything, all your bones, your skeletal structure. And another thing that comes to mind is injuries, right? So injuries are definitely going to affect the way that you're going to be imbalanced posturally going forward, because you're going to compensate for that injury. You're going to try and rehabilitate to where you still can get the proper connectivity that you used to have, but it's not always going to be, right away.
And here's the thing. You said something interesting about them holding you together and holding you up in your spine. If you look at your spine, because we're talking about posture, the spine's a big part of that. There's lots of other things involved, but we'll just look at the spine. The spine has got a lot of joints on it. That thing can move in all kinds of different directions. So if muscles are tight or weak, it's going to follow the path of least resistance. And you're going to have bad posture. And over time, your spine can actually grow and change to, you know, extreme cases. People get things like humpbacks and stuff like that, or they'll get permanent, you know, bad curvatures in their spine. But that can happen over time. Not to mention, poor posture makes you weaker.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not in a biomechanically advantageous position because your posture is poor. So you're weaker and more prone to injury when you do everyday activities like lifting a box or moving a chair or, you know, stepping over a curb or something like that. Your chance of injury is that much higher. And it's also unattractive.
Yeah. A lot of times it is unattractive. And I think that's why it's unattractive, is because we recognize how inefficient that is.
It is 100%.
Yeah. And it's like a lot of times if people are in that like severe sort of postural distorted body, like you're not even going to be able to fire these major muscle groups. Like you're using all these like, smaller muscle groups to do all the lifting, all the heavy load. That's going to stress them out really quick.
Yeah, I'll say with forward shoulder, since that's a common one, shoulders rolled forward, just to give some tips. You want to work on what's called scapular retraction and depression. So you want the shoulder blades to be able to squeeze back and down at the same time. It's like you're squeezing them together in the back and then putting them in your back pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you want to do is you want to pick a cable row is really good for this. Make it light. You can't really add much weight because you have this... this muscle recruitment pattern that's going to turn on as soon as you give yourself too much of a challenge. So it has to be really light. Go real light and focus on that part of the movement, the squeezing back and down. And believe it or not, a lot of people, I train a lot of people, and they just can't fucking do it. I have to literally place them in position to teach their body how to move that way. But you've got to train the way you want to correct the posture. It's not just the exercise. So if you're doing rows but you're not getting scapular retraction, you're actually going to strengthen the imbalance. You're going to make the imbalance worse. So that's how you correct imbalances in a nutshell.
And you know what's interesting? Like some people, I think a lot of people think that they're wired a certain way, like they're genetically wired that way. Like I don't move that way.
Yeah.
But they've never really addressed it specifically. Like I need to correct this because there is no connectivity here. Like they never even thought of that. It's more just like, well... You know, I couldn't really like lean that far to that direction. Yeah, my body just doesn't do that.
Right.
I used to remind me, now that you guys brought this up, this is a really good, I'm glad we went here.
You're glad we went off the nuts on the shoulder topic.
Yeah, we got serious.
Got us to here, though.
It did, exactly. That's what really matters.
Nuts to butts.
Yeah, right.
Every time.
Oh, very good. Remind me to do a video for the forum. It'll be a short little, I do this little posture check. This is what I used to do with people. It's just a simple little posture check and puts you into neutral spine alignment. And I don't tell people what I'm doing. I just tell them, you know, spread your feet out, tell them to do this and these movements. And then once I get them in that position, I tell them, now hold that position. And like most people feel super awkward in that position. And it's really where they should be. And I put them in the anatomical position. I say, okay, this is the way you should be walking, sitting, standing, most certainly moving around throughout your day. And the more awkward this feels for you right now, and I'm normally talking to a group of people, is that's how bad your imbalances are. Because if it feels like work to do that, that means you got some serious imbalances that we should address. Otherwise, it's going to end up causing a problem. It's going to continue to worsen as time goes on. It's not going to just naturally get better. And simply just working out and exercising isn't going to necessarily get that better either. It's learning how to focus specifically on what's wrong. And then I would give them like small ways to You know, here's some other signs. If you sit down to do a seated row, like Sal was saying, and you feel it in your biceps more than anywhere else, you feel your biceps pulling and you don't ever get sore in your back doesn't really get sore from the exercise, or you lay down on a bench press and you feel it all in your shoulders and your triceps, you know, all shoulders and triceps, you barely feel it in your chest. Your body's not in the right position to activate and recruit the right muscles through that movement. Like Justin was saying, you've now formed it, shaped it in a manner that it's going to do whatever is most conducive for it. Doesn't necessarily mean it's what's best for it, you know?
It's become efficient at it is what's happened.
Yeah.
Your body has learned, because your central nervous system wires itself that way, and your body has now learned this particular pattern, and it's learned it so well that it becomes more efficient to do that pattern, even though it's wrong, than to do the proper pattern because it hasn't learned it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it becomes efficient to go in that direction. But once you teach it proper posture, good muscle recruitment patterns, then it becomes effortless and it becomes second nature. It's like breathing. And you move in with good posture. Is not something you need to think about. That's the other thing.
Right.
It's not something you should have to think about, like, oh, I got to fix my posture. Good posture happens naturally when you're free of muscle imbalances and you have good recruitment patterns.
I just had like a... you saying that with the central nervous system, you know, I love the analogy that you've given. It's changed just the way I look at so many things with the central nervous system being like an amplifier to speakers. Because then when I think of that and this analogy that we're talking about with posture and trying to fire and activate the right muscles, imagine you have that 12-inch woofer, you have that amplifier, and there's 40 other 12-inch woofers. And you're spreading the connection to all those woofers. How powerful and how much bass are you going to get out of those 40 woofers versus if all of it's being directed right towards one pair of 12-inch woofers?
Or you're cutting off a lot of your channels.
Yeah, right. I mean,
by letting your body form into these like not advantageous postural positions, right? Now you're dampening the signal in a lot of different places in your body, and I look at it like that too. But I also look at it like, you know, it's communication. So, like, if you're interrupting communication, or you're just telling your body that, like, well, I don't really use this that much, it's going to prioritize the ones that it's going to use more,
right?
And so then it's going to, you know, really charge that in opposition,
right? Because when you're using your analogy, Adam, with the 40 speakers, really, if you really break it down, the central nervous system is firing these speakers over here with, you know, a lot more power than this one over here is kind of off. And so it's got a pattern that it fires at, and the pattern is wrong. It's not making music. You want to teach it to use the right pattern. And the way you do that,
you want the death metal,
is through exercise. Whoa, calm down. Next
question is from Secret Agent Bob 2000. How much weight should he use when doing MAPS performance mobility exercises?
Okay, so we should explain what a mobility session is to those people listening who haven't enrolled in MAPS performance. So a mobility session is a workout that you do in between your main foundational workouts that are designed to increase mobility, flexibility, movement, facilitate recovery. And so,
keyword, facilitate recovery.
Recovery.
Yes.
Yes. And a lot of what we put in that came from the brain of the gentleman sitting to my right, Justin, who's much more of an expert on this subject. And I was actually blown away, Justin, honestly, looking at some of the stuff that you put in there, because you used, you use things like, foam rolling, everything from foam rolling to active, dynamic stretching to other techniques, you know, maybe you can go into.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, the point of this is that you're asking for like a specific amount of weight. Well, really what we're trying to do is promote tension, but we're doing it like with recovery on our mind. So I'm not trying to use this as like a workout where I'm really going to feel like I'm going to get exhausted or I'm going to try really hard to pursue my way through this exercise. It's more of a movement quality. And what I'm focused on is being able to connect and get the right type of tension where I want to get it. So what this is doing is reinforcing that signal. It's reinforcing that like central nervous system signal to keep those amplifiers, on point as far as like bringing that now into our major compound lifts that and more highly intense days. So I'll actually be charged going into one of these foundational days. So other ways that I use this too, and I'll use some techniques with isometrics, with the stick, mobility, stuff like that. What I'm doing is I'm creating this tension by self-enforced tension. So what I'm doing is I'm applying this force through the stick into the ground, and I'm actually I'm going through range of motion, but I'm doing that actively. I'm doing that actively, not passively. And we kind of explain the difference between that.
That's why it's not a day of just stretching for an hour.
No,
like
right.
That.
No.
There's look at it this
no,
way.
No, it's a workout, but it's not.
Yeah. Well, and Justin, yeah, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I treat it like this. I look at my mobility days as your priorities have switched. When I'm in my foundational days, I'm there to put some work in. I'm trying to progress my weight. I'm trying to move up, challenge myself physically. On a mobility day, my priorities are more about range of motion, flexibility, form and technique.
Yes.
You know, I'm
very heavy on the technique.
Yes, yeah. I'm getting more into the craft and the art of my movement and the flow of what I'm doing. And it should be something that's it will be a little challenging because I'm working for sure, but that's less of a priority. I'd rather walk out of the workout and feel like, oh my God, I didn't even break a sweat, or I didn't even burn any my muscles were never burning or never pumped. That's okay, because my priority isn't there. You know, my priority is like I said, flexibility, range of motion, movement,
circulation, like all these things. I mean, that's really what it's promoting, and that's where the recovery happens, is because we're getting this blood flow, we're getting this oxygen to move throughout your body the way we want it to heal cells. But at the same time, it's at a low enough intensity where you know, it's not going to you know, lower your performance going into the more intense days.
Exactly.
So what we're trying to do is really, you know, promote better performance when you need performance.
Right.
This is all part of the program.
Right. Because if you look at it, you know, here's the deal. You have your workouts to produce the bulk of your results. Your body has a limited ability to recover and adapt from those. So if it had an unlimited ability, we would just do foundational workouts, you know, three times a day, every single day. But we can't. We can do them, you know, so many days a week, and then any more than that, it's going to be too much. But we've got days off in between. What do we do with those? Well, the best focus on those days is to take those days and use them so that the next time you do your foundational workout, you've increased its effectiveness. So right. All we're doing is we're taking those days and we're leveraging them to make the foundational days that much more effective. And with math performance, we put mobility you know, sessions in there, because a lot of the workouts in math performance are functional based.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, your bodybuilding, you know, muscle pump movements. They're very functional. And we know that you got to maintain mobility and have active recovery to go into those workouts and have good performance.
And can, you know, you can also look at it like if you're doing some kind of movement within your foundational days that you're not as familiar with, you can really like go light and just duplicate that movement. That's where the freedom and flexibility of these mobility days are there for, is really for you to, because they're more complex. You don't have a machine to dictate where you should orientate your body.
Right. So if you're listening and you don't even have the program, I mean, it's just like what we're talking about. You can go in the gym with this intent and you can come out with something that's going to benefit the next hard workout that you do. Mm-hmm. That's the concept and the philosophy behind.
What I enjoy about it too is it's a mental change too, which I think you need to learn to have that. If you're
right.
Somebody who heads into each workout with the same mentality and same intensity, you need to have a different mentality. And that's where I really,
great point.
I mean, I really looked at those days as like I'm trying to perfect this craft, you know, I'm really analyzing my form on everything that I'm doing, because that's what I'm trying to do. And that
are you really as responsive as you think you are
right.
When you go through that lift.
Exactly.
And that's what I challenge people that challenge the intensity.
Say that again. That's freaking awesome. Damn. Are you really as responsive? You said something like that.
Are you really as responsive as you think you are?
In that lift.
Lift.
That's great.
Yeah. No,
that got my mind thinking. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
So I mean, that's so I know he asked what weights we should do. So you know, the long-winded answer from us is that you need to find a light enough weight that is not going to have any sort of hindrance on your foundational day the next day. When you go to if you're challenging yourself in any way that is going to, you know, hinder the performance of your next workout, then you definitely went too hard and you need to lighten the weight up.
That's it.
Yeah.
Our next question is from Games and Gains.
I love saying that one. Yes. Games and Gains.
Their question is about your thoughts on Rich Piana.
Rich Piana.
And showcasing his daily steroid use.
I personally don't know. I know who he is, and I know he does this.
The 5%ers, is that what they call themselves?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't follow him, so I don't know a whole lot about him other than what I hear.
Yeah.
But for someone who does, who takes steroids, looks the way he does, and is honest about it, I respect him. I mean, that's straight up.
Well,
you're going to be honest about it.
I'm with you on that.
I do subscribe to his stuff. I do enjoy listening to it, even though he's not, in no offense, Rich. You know, he's not like Lane Norton type of knowledge.
No,
guy.
No, I don't. And he would, and he knows that, right? He wouldn't.
Yeah,
say
yeah.
He is.
I don't think he's the type that's like that. But what I do, he's very raw, very real, very candid.
Anybody that's transparent and like is honest about their process, like you really can't fault the guy for that.
Well, and I really feel too, like, so I have. I don't mind him doing that. And I know, I'm sure the person who's asking the question, maybe they have a young son, or they're just questioning if that's a good thing that we think that somebody should be on there talking about their steroids. Like, but hey, I think that's healthier and better. I mean, if you look at him, he represents a very small percentage of people who want to look like that.
Yeah.
And if you really want to, then I appreciate him putting out there what it took for him to look like that.
Right.
And
if you're going to commit to looking like that, it's kind of part of the process.
It is, right?
And to not talk about it is to kind of, you know, do a disservice.
To me, I would be more angry to hear him push, you know, some protein powder or some muscle building stack that's just a piece of shit stack that he takes just so he can peddle it and sell it and not disclose that, you know, 99% of his results are coming from all the hard work and steroids he's taking, you know, like.
And I could see, like, from a parental perspective, like, yeah, you don't want, like, you know, your kids to be exposed to certain things, but at the same time, like, it really is on the parent then to like help that kid understand that, right, like, this is not, like, this is why these are some of the health ramifications. Like, this is, like, if you're really going to pursue this, like, you really want to over-educate more than to just keep it a mystery.
Well, here's the deal. Parents have told their kids don't have sex for freaking thousands of years, and the way they do it is they say it's bad and the devil and blah, blah, blah. And you know what that does? It creates problems.
Yeah.
Rather than now, you know, a lot of parents, you sit down, you talk to your kids, you're open with them. This guy, what he's doing, and he's being honest about it, about his use and stuff, I don't see the harm in it. And look, when your kids walk out the front door, they go out into real life.
Yeah.
And real life is full of this shit, and the internet's there. You can't stop it.
Oh, yeah.
So I wouldn't be like, yeah, son, I'm glad you're watching that, you know, especially
when exactly, yeah.
I mean, he's under a certain age. I can change it.
Yeah.
But I would rather him do that than have him on there saying, no, I look this way because of supplements, like Adam said. Next thing you know, my kid's working out, taking supplements, and nothing's working. And now he thinks he has to take, you know, steroids. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So I think if you're going to do dirt, you're going to be, you know, that kind of person, but you're honest about it, as long as you don't hurt anybody else, fine.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of respect for him for doing it.
Tiffany Alana's 15 is asking about her dislocated shoulder. She did that about eight years ago, but recently has been hurting her when she's doing pull downs.
So here's the thing with shoulder pain. I don't know where her shoulder hurts. I can't see how it moves, so I can't help her. But I'll say this. The most common problems with shoulders, with people working out, really kind of fall into a few categories. You have shoulder impingement, which is where the clavicle is too close to your scapula because of the shoulder position, and there's muscles and stuff underneath that get impinged, and it causes inflammation. That kind of pain tends to go down the arm, so people will feel it kind of going down the side of their shoulder. And that, to correct that, you want to be able to bring the shoulders back and down. You want to strengthen that back and down kind of position. The other shoulder pain that's common is the pain in the front of the shoulder. Actually, Doug came in today with this kind of pain, where they feel it right in the front of their shoulder, and any type of press hurts like hell, especially a chest press or an overhead press. That tends to be indicative of bicep tendon inflammation. So it's actually not the shoulder. It's the bicep tendon, because it wraps over the top of the humerus. That gets inflamed, and then the front of the shoulder hurts anytime you try to, you know, abduct the humerus, or, you know, move it into a press of some sort. And then the other type of pain is the one that's behind the shoulder, and people will have trouble putting their arm behind their back. You know, like if you're going to kind of put your arm behind the back and like rub the back of your hand up your back, the back
fold
of your hand
it
up your
like
back.
You're getting handcuffed.
Yes. Yeah. And that has to do with the rotator cuff, the muscles of the rotator cuff, the infraspinatus, supraspinatus. And for that, same thing, the fix would also be shoulders back and down, but also do like external rotation exercises to strengthen it. So I don't know what your pain, you know, what kind of pain you have, but those are the three most common. And many times a lot of times people have them all at the same time. And they kind of, it's like the trifecta. Oh, and then the other one that's not as common,
especially
but still
doing
there.
Butterfly pull-ups.
Butterfly pull-ups.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Then the last one, shoulder pain, it's not as common, but it's still there's acromioclavicular joint pain. This is the where the collarbone joint goes all the way out to the shoulder. And some people have that kind of bump, you know, right before their shoulder. It's like extension of their collarbone. One. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That'll get really sore. Sometimes it gets separated. And you'll know that if you have hard trouble putting your arm like across your body, like you're going to lay down on it. If that hurts really bad, then a lot of times that's, AC joint pain. And if that's separated, not much you can do other than strengthen
it's a tough
it.
One.
Yeah. I might try some dynamic flexibility for my shoulder to start off. I might do some prone cobras, some movements like that. I think, before I start my lifts and see if that helps out a little bit. Because that kind of hits, that kind of targets that scapular retraction and depression at the same time. You want to do something real, and then when you do your pull downs, like Sal was talking about earlier, they should be really, really lightweight to where you're focusing on being able to squeeze and retract.
I wouldn't even do pull down actually with a lot of shoulder issues. You'd want to focus on the horizontal.
Straight seated row.
Yeah, because what happens when they're doing a pull down, I can guarantee you right now.
She's fighting against that.
Her shoulder blades are probably
wants to dislocate, right?
Their shoulder blades are shrugging, probably rolled forward. She's probably in a cave down.
Yeah.
And if it's bicep tendon, that's kind of a bad position for the bicep when you're pulling down that way sometimes. So, yeah, I would go rows, definitely rows. But here's a funny thing about all joints, okay? Here's a crazy thing. Here's a little cheat code. For any joint in your body, find out or learn the most optimal way it should move. And almost every rehab you have to do for that joint, regardless of the injury, all centers around
getting you there.
That's it. Yeah. So whether you tear your ACL, your PCL, your MCL, you have issues with your patella, whatever, strengthening your hips and getting good hip mobility is going to help.
Right.
With the shoulders, if you get the shoulders to track properly, where the shoulder blade drops back and pinches back and everything's moving the way it should, that helps pretty much any problem with your shoulder.
Helps rotation, all that stuff.
Yeah. So for all your trainers that are listening right now, if you just understand that, like you understand optimal function for a joint, that's your cheat code, my friend. Your clients come in with pain. That's usually the answer to fix it many times.
Right.
Yeah. So with that, leave us a 5-star rating and review. And thank you for listening to Mind Pump.
Yep. Check out the new mindpumpmedia.com website. If you guys haven't been on the new mindpumpmedia.com, go check it out.
Naked pictures of Adam.
Yeah.
Yep, sometimes.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.